We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to Outside the Trenches. We hope you're having a beautiful Thursday, whether you're watching this live on YouTube or listening to the podcast audio after the fact. We appreciate you for spending part of your day with us on this newest episode presented by our friends at Five Farms Irish Cream, my personal favorite product from our fine folks and friends up at Holiday Distillery. Put it in a little coffee, put it in some hot chocolate, and I promise you will not be disappointed. I'm BJ Kissel, joined as always by KCSN podcast producer Tucker Franklin and former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints, Mr. Nick Leckie. Nick, how goes it this afternoon?
Man, it's great. It's great. It feels like I've been here, haven't been here for like a month. So that's just wild.
You had a little nice vacation. We'll talk about that here in a bit. But Tucker, you don't get vacations because we work all the time. How's it been since I talked to you like 20 minutes ago?
Hey, we are rocking and rolling at KC Sports Network. Got a lot of stuff going on the Chiefs side, college side, soccer side now too. Got a lot of stuff going on. So it's a great time to start a soccer channel during the World Cup. There's been some great matches on. I know, Nick. I'm sure, Nick, you've got your guys. No. Haven't been?
No. It's always tough for me to watch football when I'm watching college and NFL hand egg.
That's fair.
So I wait till like the January to start watching the EPL. And World Cup in November, December, it's weird.
It is weird.
I'm like, I need June soccer. This is or football. It's weird.
Listen, you're wearing an American flag. You're running around representing the United States. Like, I'm going to watch. I don't care what the sport is. Like, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go support it. Went over to Lee Summit to watch the game against Iran. I think it's how it's pronounced. I'm going to make sure we pronounce this correctly. But went over there, went to the Johnny's over there with my buddy Tyler and had a good time and watched a little soccer. Now that be a little more educated now that we've got soccer on the old channel. But right now on this show, we're going to talk a little Chiefs and Bengals and the trash talk ramping up before this rematch. Trash talk, air quotes, not. I'll preface by saying this. I don't think the players are going to play harder because of some perceived slights in the media that seems to have come from misunderstandings or just not being on the same page about what the player, who the player they were talking about is. But nevertheless, it's kind of divulged into some other stuff where now you've got players kind of going back and forth on social media, Tucker. And I think it's going to add to the fun, at least for fans. I think it's going to add. I don't think the players are going to play any harder because of this stuff, but it's definitely more fun for us from the outside watching it, knowing that they're not really getting along before Sunday.
As if we needed anything else to talk about with this matchup, right? There was already a highly anticipated matchup between these two teams, and it's clear the players on these two teams aren't very big fans of each other. I'm going to kind of take you guys chronologically through how this all happened with the air quotes, as you mentioned, trash talk. First, it started with Justin Reed's comments. I believe this is in the locker room after press conference. They got player availability. Here's what he said about Hayden Hurst. Now, you're going to hear a mix up, but he think he's talking about T. Higgins. He's actually talking about Hayden Hurst in these comments here. Here's what Justin Reed had to say.
A big time tackle, like some of the missed tackles, explosive plays, a lot of it's going to come down to making the play on the ball, you know. And they have 88 Higbee. No, it's not. Is it not Higbee? Was with the Rams. What's his name? It's Higbee and Higgins. They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down. You know, straight up. You know, we're going to have to come out of the game, like I said, play our best game and go out and do it.
Obviously talking about Hayden Hurst there. He says his number 88. You know, the reporter says Higgins. Not Higgins. And he's like, no, it is Higgins. But just a classic mix up there. He said it's the correct number, though. So he was talking about Hayden Hurst, their tight end that they got. He was new this season. I think he's a fine player. But so he took to Twitter. He, as in Justin Reed, took to Twitter to clarify those comments. TBH, I meant Hayden Hurst for the matchup. Nonetheless, any and everybody still getting locked up.
Oh, I love it.
It's the little part where he like kind of looks at the camera, where Justin Reed looks at the camera. He said, doesn't matter. He's going to get locked up anyway. Ja'Marr Chase fires back. Let's put some money on it big time with some eyeball emojis. Love that emoji. Justin Reed, y'all welcome for the extra motivation. I'm going to see you Sunday, champ. Ja'Marr Chase replies with tuna in a can with a cat emoji. Take that as you will. And Justin Reed says, noted. So some scrapping going on with those fellas on the social media as well. Today, during press availability, Hayden Hurst was asked about Justin Reed's comments, and here's what he had to say.
Going to attempt to cover me that said something about me or to me or I guess whoever he thought he was talking about. Don't really care.
Did you laugh or were you like,
I laughed a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you can pick anybody in this locker room, but you know, I feel like I'm the last person you probably want to talk shit about because I have a long memory.
So you're keeping the receipts?
It's going to be fun.
We're bringing back Beef of the Week. That's what's happening. We're bringing back Beef of the Week because it is a big beef on Twitter.
I love that. I just love how I'm 40. I'm a man, as Mike Gundy would say. Mm-hmm. And to talk noise, but then to put an emoji in there, like that's a new concept for me. Because I'm still in the phase where I've introduced emojis into my vernacular, my texting vernacular. But it's more like for LOLs and stuff like that. But like they're like beefing on Twitter and they're putting emojis. And I just love the youth these days because that's a new one. That's a new one. It's like I'm angry, but I'm going to use this little emoji, right? It's like it's funny.
What do we look at?
I just don't know. It's fun for us like to talk about and to lead into the game, all the trash talk back and forth. And maybe they get chippy like on the field during the game, but do I think that they're going to go play harder? Do I think Hayden Hurst is going to go block harder because of this? No. Do I think if he's got a play where he's on Justin Reed, could he be a little more fired up, a little more focused about it? Yeah, probably, especially on the first one. But man, like now it just sets up to like, who's going to be the one to get to say something. And it's not even that, because we don't know what they're going to say. Who's going to look like they're saying something, and then what does that happen on social media, and then it gets all over the place. So definitely adding some intrigues. You don't really see this a whole lot anymore, especially with Chiefs players. You don't see this a whole lot with somebody saying something that kind of fires everybody up.
And it's a cool rivalry now too, you know, with as far as like the regular the loss last year too. I think it's really cool. So I think both teams are fired up. It's like a marquee matchup where it's like you have all these, you know, no longer is it the Pittsburgh New England rivalry to determine, you know, it's like Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, you know, for the AFC crown, you know, and it's like, it's cool to see this new rivalry, you know, kind of flourish. And these guys are going to be playing each other year in, year out for the next couple of years. So it's cool to see some trash talk, and I love the responses and getting involved with it. I mean, when you come down to it, you know, you're playing a sport, but you're entertainers, and this is entertainment. And, you know, there ain't nothing else going on with the World Cup. So, hey, some Twitter beef on a marquee matchup, man, that's cool. I'm about
it. NFL loves it. You got to think that the NFL loves when players go on and start talking trash to each other. But you're right, Nick. I think this game does mean a lot for the Bengals, not only as much as the Chiefs, but the Bengals are in it in the divisional race. I think they're tied with the Ravens right now in their division. So winning this game would make their path a little bit easier. They don't have an easy schedule. Matt Landon and I talk about it on today's KCSN update, but like, they've got a tough schedule to end out their season, and if they can get a win over the Chiefs, that's going to be big for them down the stretch to try to get that divisional title to go into the playoffs. Obviously, this game is big for the Chiefs, too, because they don't want to go and rely on a tiebreaker that they don't have with the Buffalo Bills. I think right now they might have it with the Dolphins. I've got to relook on that, but because the Dolphins are the number 2 team in the AFC right now, so that's going to be the other team that
say you're that again, at. Right? Yeah.
So that they don't want that to come into play.
Yeah, I don't think you need any more reason to be fired up, because the Chiefs, you don't want to drop games like this, but they were going to be focused on this one anyway. We heard it after the game against the Rams during media availability. They already started saying, like, on to Cincinnati. Like, they were already fired up about this game. And you could look at Patrick Mahomes. I know, obviously, you know, I just got done talking about this for pregame for the 101 The Fox, for Fox Football Radio Network pregame show. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes having his second baby this week, his wife, Brittany, I should say, having their second kid, and just everything that goes into that. If he needs any more reason to be focused going into this game, you could make the argument that the worst half of football we've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play was the second half against the Bengals. Right. And he didn't need more of a reason. Those guys have short memories. Nick, you and I have been talking about it since we first started podcasting. Professional athletes' ability to find chips wherever they're at and to carry those as reasons to motivate them, whether they're real or not. Professional athletes have the ability to just kind of conjure up this doubt or this people thinking they can't do whatever it is that, you know, is being done. Again, whether it's actually out there or not, Patrick Mahomes didn't have to look at anything other than the box score, watch the film, whatever the reasons behind it were. He was the one holding the football, and he got a lot of that blame for how they played in the second half offensively against the Bengals and allowed them to come back after being up 21-3. So I don't think they're going to be more fired up, but this is not a game in which – this is not like the Colts game where they're not going to be focused going in because of what happened last year. And this, if anything, just kind of ignited a little bit more for the Chiefs that, hey, they we started this, and now we've got to go back it up.
It is. Well, and it was cool to see versus the Rams, too, that it was like second and goal. And then they ran the ball inside with Pacheco up the middle. And I'm like, wow, if they would have done that versus the Bengals in the second quarter – last year, then we're talking a whole different ball game right now, you know, as far as like them turning the screws and locking the doors on the game. So it's good to see the Chiefs have established a run game this year versus Cincinnati. And and honestly, I think this Kansas City team has really turned a corner since Mahomes has decided to run the ball more effectively from the QB, because teams weren't respecting that this year from him.
Well, when you look at the stats from last year, Tucker, I'll jump in here real quick, and then we'll get into our blind nil segments. But, you know, one of the areas when you look at the games last year, I'm going to bring up the stats right now to make sure I get them right. But the Chiefs were able to run the ball actually pretty effectively against the Bengals in both those games. At least when you look at the box score at the end of the game, I don't think there were a bunch of or a handful of, like, you know, single runs that kind of skewed the numbers. But I know in the first matchup, as I bring it up here, the Chiefs were able to 24 carries for 139 yards in that first matchup, in that week 17 matchup they lost. Then Jerick McKinnon had 12 carries for 65 yards in that game. And then in the other one, that was the playoff game. In the other game, in the playoffs, they were able to run for 155 yards with Darrell Williams carrying it 14 times for 88 yards with a 6.3 yards per carry average. I mean, they averaged over 6 yards a carry in those two games, over 250 yards rushing combined in those games. So they're actually finding success there. But this is talked about with Brett Coleman this week, the chess match that the Chiefs have kind of been dealing with all year is how are teams schematically going to play against them? Because what the Bengals had done is what we started to see with Tyreek Hill. A lot of teams do drop 8. Don't let Patrick Mahomes put a spy on him. Don't let him scramble, and then make them chip away down the field. Well, this year, teams are playing a whole lot more man because Tyreek Hill isn't on the field anymore. They're not terrified to play man defense. Well, what are the Bengals going to do? Because this team is significantly set up better to beat all different types of coverages than they were in the years past. We've seen them beat man. We've seen them beat zone with Juju and MVS and all these guys being on the same page of where to go against zone coverage. How are the Bengals, who had success against Patrick Mahomes? We just said worst second half or worst half of football we've seen from Mahomes. A lot of dropping eight. I don't think they can get away with that this year, the way that the Chiefs' offense is built. So, again, what is that chess match of how are the Bengals going to go up against this particular group of offensive skill guys for the Chiefs?
Well, I think it's really interesting, too, when you start to look at the rushing numbers, BJ. You saying that made me bring this up. You look at the last three games, 117 rush yards, 163 rushing yards, 155. They had 77 against the Titans, but then 112 against the Niners. And then that Niners game is when Pacheco was named the starter. So you're seeing a lot of good things happen in the rushing game, and I think that's, what, five games there? And you're averaging about 124, but almost 125 yards per game when it comes to rush running the ball. So seeing some improvement there, and I'm excited to see what they can do on the ground.
Finally. Finally. We need to go back and find the week one tape where I said Pacheco should be the starting running back.
Dig that up.
Yes.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The other thing, and I should give credit, or at least mention this because Brett Coleman talked about it a lot. He spent a lot of time waxing poetic about DJ Reader, and that he's just good, a space eater in the middle of their defense. Not a guy that you're going to run between the A gaps, cover both A gaps sitting in a 2-eye. He can cover everything. He can shut down a running game, at least up the middle, kind of on his own. Brett Coleman was very, very complimentary of DJ Reader. But guys, let's get into the first blind nail segment, similar to what we talked about off the top with the trash talk going on. And I want to know, Nick, during your time, either in college or at the NFL, like who's the best trash talking player that you either played with or against that you can specifically remember, like not like pissed you off, but just like that was good. Like that was pretty good.
I'm trying to think here, and there's not many. Lance Briggs, he was like a outside linebacker for the Bears.
Yeah.
He talked a lot of noise. Suggs talked a lot of noise, and Ray Lewis would talk noise. But Ray Lewis had the whole murder case thing that was, you know, never whatever. But just the fact that he surrounded that, you're like, yeah, this guy's got street.
Kill the guy.
Yeah, you know? I was like, oh.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, right? Allegedly. I'm not accusing or saying, just he was somewhat linked. So that kind of gave it a scary vibe because you're like, oh, wow, this goes past the game. So I just no way to say that, man. I'm not Ray. Ray is probably a great guy. I don't know him, but yeah. So he had that. So it kind of gave this sort of aura about him where you're like, well, I got a shot to cheap shot him, but I'm probably not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to, because you know, it's just a game, you know, but yeah, I'd say Briggs. I think Briggs, he was just awesome. Like he said, like, hey, you softer than baby shit, you know, something like that. I'm like, God, that's soft. Like when I had a kid, like I thought about it. Like it didn't affect me in the game because I'm like, you can talk whatever you want. I don't care. You know, I don't care. I don't get into that nonsense. And I was the opposite where I like the Mark Schlereth, the sugar bear technique. I'm like, oh, hey, good job on that one. That was good. Or like, hey, you know, you're really good. I'm happy to be blocking against you.
I can't hear Ray Lewis and thinking about the Chiefs and not think of the mic'd up segment where he's talking to Will Shields and he's like, they're double teaming me. And they show the replay and it's just Will Shields just dominating him on his own. It's like, they got two guys on me. And the coach is like, I'm looking at the film right here, but like, it's just Will. Mm-hmm. He's just very, very good. Tucker,
I like that.
Best trash talk that you've been around.
I do. So I haven't been around a ton of trash talking, right? But I always love trash talking DBs in corners. Marcus Peters is probably the first one that comes to mind of a guy just loves to talk. It seems like all corners love to talk. I think that's a prerequisite. If you're going to be a corner or a defensive back in the NFL, got to be able to talk some mess. And I don't know if you guys saw this in college football over the weekend, but there was a corner that thought he broke up a pass. It was a completed pass, and when it was caught, he did the incomplete. But the guy was like running by. Yeah, it was tough. It was very tough. But yeah, big trash talk guys from I think Marcus Peters, man, it's got to be the one. I love the play where he threw the flag into the field. I know that's not really trash talk or into the stands, but just like, man,
this is foolish.
I was there. That was an interesting.
Did he get traded? Get traded after that or something like that? Right? Is that?
It was the year after. Yeah.
It was the year after. Yeah,
that was a nail in the coffin right there. You're out.
I'm gonna say like there's a lot of. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu was good. I think kind of busting with the boys. Will Compton told the story of I think it was they had a guest on and he was telling the story about like Tyrann Mathieu being a player that he looked up to and he got out of the field and he was like, "I'll murder your family," like saying all this stuff. And he was like, "Oh my god!" Like I was gonna dab you up, be like, "Hey, it's respect you, man." But Chris Jones has always been great. Like the year that I was on the sideline, I could always hear some of the things. I mean, some of it's just kind of inaudible, just yelling back and forth and nothing in particular, but I can specifically remember Chris Jones screaming to the ref in like a really funny, not like angry, hyped up, like adrenaline kind of way, but he was just kind of laughing. He was like, "Ref, don't reward his ignorance. Don't reward that ignorance." Like, I don't know what the context was, but he was just laughing hysterically. And the player was complaining to the ref and Chris was just like, "Don't reward that ignorance."
Yeah. It's so funny. The little amount of trash talking that goes on amongst big guys, right? Cause you just worry, you got so much going on. You have responsibilities. So there's no trash talk during play. It's always in between plays before you get something that you trash talking. And to me, it's like the trash talking, not so much, but it's like the, like I would always read body emotions, body language. So like when guys put their hands on their hips, or anything like that, then it was something where I was like, okay, like they're ready. And if they're talking trash, then I'm like, okay, they're just tired. I don't know what they're doing. Like, what's the purpose? I never understood the purpose.
Yeah. You're always going to have to back up whatever it is, you know, like you're going to have to respond. That's the thing with Philip Rivers. He liked to talk as a quarterback and everybody would get going. I know down in Mexico City, it got heated between Tyrann Mathieu and him. I'll never forget that on the sideline that game. And I think they went to commercial and people like saw Chris in it and they always thought, well, Chris is in his face. And like, as soon as they went to commercial, like Mathieu was the one that was right there in the middle of it. So after the game, all the questions from the media that were there were about Mathieu, but everybody on the outside was talking about, or at least people who'd watched it on TV, on social media, everything was about Chris, because that's what they saw before it really escalated into more trash talking. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much of what we've seen on social media over the past week kind of bleeds over. You can't tell me that the broadcast is going to definitely talk about it with the CBS crew that's going down there. They pay attention. They know what the storylines are, what people are talking about. The first time there's a play anywhere near Justin Reed and Hayden Hurst.
Cute.
I mean, Hayden Hurst basically called him like soft. And like I heard the clip and it was like, yeah, he wasn't talking about Jamar Chase, but he really did call Hayden Hurst soft, which Hayden Hurst didn't really appreciate.
Nobody does
very much.
You can't do that. You can't do that amongst men, amongst alpha males. Like, don't be calling. That's like a true, like that's like a war chant or something like that, where it's like, you don't want to talk like that. It's like, yeah.
He's like, well, if everybody in this locker room, I've got a long memory. I'm like, if somebody called anyone in this locker room soft, everyone's got a long memory for that. So easy.
Yeah. Really,
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, when we talk about trash talk, the Andrew Luck approach to trash talking, of when he would just absolutely get decleated and be like, man, that's a really good hit. And yeah. guys would not know how to react to it because they're just like, wait, why? They're so confused. But I always love listening to the Andrew Luck mic dubs because he's just complimenting everybody.
He was ready. He was ready to start his book club week one rookie year. You know, he was out the NFL. He's like, I'm not built for this. I want no part of this nonsense.
I'll never forget in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes, when he got hit down there in like the goal line, or when he ran in for that touchdown, one of their first scores, we got popped pretty good. And people and on the radio, because I was part of the radio broadcast, and I could hear Mitch in my radio asking, like, is he hurt? And you go back and watch the highlight, you can see me. I'm like 8 feet from him. And like, I immediately can, on the highlight of that play, you can go back and you can see me pause for a second because he got popped pretty good. He's about 10 feet from me. And I just like freeze, like, oh my God, did Patrick Mahomes just get hurt? And then I'm so close that I could see him smiling and laughing. So I was like, oh, he's fine. And I immediately get into Mitch because he's like, Patrick Mahomes is down. He could be injured. And I'm like, no, he's laughing. Like, he's fine. Everything's good. He get up and he's like, hey, good hit, man. Like, gets up and he's like, we're going to be more of that, and kind of going back and forth. But it wasn't quite the Andrew Luck, like, that was a really nice hit, sir. Like, well done. But it was kind of like good stuff. Like, this is why we go out here and compete, which is good. And then Philip Rivers, just the other side of it, just
annoying.
Annoying getting
absolutely,
after it.
So. Absolutely. Just like annoying. Cuss, you know? Just like, just do
say
it.
Say something other than gosh darn it.
Right.
Say the Queen Mother. All right.
Let's move on to the next blind nil segment. For anyone listening, we don't know what this next segment is going to be. And Nick, let's go to you next.
All right. Take away, you know, the guy, your marquees. So take away Mahomes, Snead, Chris Jones, Travis, right? Who's going to have the biggest impact? Today's December 1, from now through playoffs. Who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be that guy who they look back and say, man, this dude really, really made an impact. And this is the key to our success. Who's going to be the cold weather MVP, you know, when it matters, right? This is, like I said, this is fun football, man. December, January, this is fun football. You know, it's like you can tell who's who.
I don't know if you consider him marquee. I think he's getting close to that level, though. I'm going to say Nick Bolton. The way that Nick Bolton's been playing, I think that's going to be huge for this defense moving forward, to have a guy in that middle of the defense who has been playing and covering very well. He's been running downhill. He's a sure tackler, and that's incredibly important in the playoffs. We saw, I think Justin Reed even hit on it in his comments at the very beginning, but talking about kind of what they need to do. It's not making tackles when they need to make tackles. If Nick Bolton gets you in his arms, he's going to bring you down. He's a pretty sure tackler, and that's what you need late in the year, late in the season, when everybody's banged up, everybody's bruised. It's tough, hard-nosed football. It's cold out there. You got to be able to tackle. Nick Bolton has shown he's been able to do that. I think he's like fourth in solo tackles or something like that, and he's way up there, second or third, I think, in just tackles overall. So he's been able to bring guys down and tackle them. He's been covering extremely well. He's been outplaying Willie Gay in terms of PFF grade, in terms of coverage for linebackers, which is something, if you would have told me 6 months ago that Nick Bolton would be our best coverage linebacker, I'd have been like, well, is Willie Gay not playing? Is that what's happening? But seeing Nick Bolton out there and playing really well is just going to be huge. And I think him playing well moving forward is going to be big for this defense.
Part of my brain wants to say George Karloftis, because if he can average, if he can average 1.5 sacks over the final six, then we'll get back to that DT sack record that I will continue to own. I will always clarify that he has been getting pressures. He has been affecting quarterbacks. It has not been that he's not been playing well. It just hasn't resulted in sacks. It is going to be that position along the defensive line, though. I expect Frank to continue doing what he's doing. I see George Karloftis to make an impact. Chris Jones is an All-Pro Defensive Player of the Year finalist, should be. It's definitely AFC Defensive Player of the Year. If that was award, Chris Jones would win that. But for me, it's Carlos Dunlap. And the reason why is the more close down the stretch regular season to clinch the playoffs, to clinch the one seed, hopefully, or you get into the playoffs, the more every play is magnified. And every play on the defensive side, you remember Frank Clark because he is like third in NFL history in postseason sacks. People forget that till you get to the playoffs and he starts closing games late. We see it with Carlos Dunlap, whether it's a batted pass, which I think he's third since like 1994. He has the third most batted passes in the NFL or something like that. Like he was talked about when he got here, that those kinds of plays on a key third down in a close game in the second half, him batting down a big pass or coming up with a sack. I think those key moments, it might not be a ton of sacks, it might be a ton of plays, but I think they're going to happen in really key moments. We're going to continue basically what we've seen from him so far. We're going to continue talking about Carlos Dunlap making the big plays when it's needed most.
You know, it's good that I had two picked out because I was thinking Dunlap as well too, just because he's the guy that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but he has a, he would be my nemesis, right? He's a taller, bigger and quicker kind of than Frank, when it's like, man, and just able to like he was rushing Bryce Perkins, like, you know, one arm up trying to do the thing. And it's like, God, he's so good. Like he just consistent, like, oh, you know, second half. Oh, who's showing up? Dunlap. Who got the hit? Dunlap. Right. And it's, yeah. I love the way he plays. I'm going to go with a theme where you guys are going to be not shocked at all. And I'm going to say Pacheco. I really do. I think he's hungry. I think he's super hungry for it. He was getting chunks early on versus the Rams, and he's been getting chunks. But the thing that sort of solidified it in my mind, because to me, I was like, oh, McKinnon can catch it. He made a crucial catch, you know, in the second half and got some, and it looked easy. Like most running backs, you know, they catch a ball, they kind of, you know, whatever. And I can tell they're not really, they're more running back. And he can come out on a route and catch some stuff that I think Pacheco is going to be that low key MVP. When we look back December 1 right now, you're going to say, damn, he was that guy. You know, he was the guy who's, you know, running and catching, like who we thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be for this offense. That's Pacheco.
I like that one. I like that one.
You old Tucker. Save it, Boomer.
I had to cough. Whatever.
Tucker was muted and was talking for a good 10 seconds before he realized.
I know. It's embarrassing. But what I was saying, Nick, it's like it's the inverse of what my point was, right? You know, when it gets down to it, got to be able to run the ball. When it gets down to it, you got to be able to stop the run. And those are two of the things, especially cold weather, a playoff football. So encouraged to see both of those things happening with the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Isaiah Pacheco a lot. I like the way he runs football.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I played with Steven Jackson, and he's a smaller version of Steven Jackson. Just a hard physical runner, and that's what I love about him. And you can tell the guy wants contact. The guy is smart. He can catch the ball, and it's like, this dude is what this offense needed.
I want to ask about this because we haven't had a chance on this show and to get your guys' thoughts on the addition of Melvin Gordon to this team. We talk a little bit about Brandon Williams. I love Brandon Williams. I loved him when he was at Missouri Southern, loved him in the draft that year, loved him when I saw him at the Senior Bowl. He is the run-stuffing guy that I thought Danny Shelton was here to do. Yeah. It's weird. We haven't seen him step in there and play at all or get an opportunity in any kind of way. But thoughts on Melvin Gordon, Tucker, of joining the Chiefs, and what do you see his potential role being or having any kind of a role? Because I have my thoughts, but I want to get yours first.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I know when he was released, I joked on Twitter about the Chiefs bringing him in. I was like, oh, get ready for the Chiefs' next running back is what I think I said, as just like 100% a joke. And he's had some issues fumbling this year. That's no surprise. I think that's where a lot of people's hesitancy is with Melvin Gordon. But he's a veteran. He's been around the AFC West his whole career, from the Chargers to the Broncos, now on the Chiefs. I think it's more of a depth move than anything, right? Now you're looking at it. They had Ronald Jones. Now Ronald Jones is going to be pushed into playing a little bit more than you would have liked him to play down the stretch here. Jerick McKinnon shows up on the injury report today, Wednesday, I should say, with a hamstring issue. And I think he was dealing with a hamstring a little bit before the last game. But you're now looking at, you just need a body at this point, a guy that can come in there. And I think Melvin Gordon is maybe a little bit more of a backup for the Jerick McKinnon, the third down type of back, than it is as a backup for a Ronald Jones, Isaiah Pacheco, downs one and two type of guy. But I'm interested to see kind of how that all works out. It's tough, especially this week. If Jerick McKinnon misses, Melvin Gordon's only been in the building for a week, if that. Not even, I think, a week, but a week of practice. But it's going to be interesting to see, for sure.
It really will be. Talk about too. Talk about getting kicked off a burning, sinking ship and onto onto a Carnival, a Disney Carnival cruise line, right? just amazing, just absolutely amazing. He's on a burning skiff in the middle of the ocean, right, at Denver right now, and just gets picked up by this beautiful, luxurious P. Diddy yacht. You know, this is just absolutely fantastic. You know, that's the best. That's what we call a glow up, kids. I mean, straight up. I saw that. There's no better feeling than being like, I've been on crappy teams and, you know, you hope you get traded, right, to like a Super Bowl contender. And like, here's a shot. And it's like, especially like the way he got done, like when I heard like what he was playing Future songs in the locker room. So Russell was like, get him out.
That was denied. That was denied. Because
no, it was denied.
I'm hyping it up. But Patrick Peterson said nice things about Kyler Murray once, and apparently there was no love lost. There are the way those guys are talking. But yeah, Tucker, I agree with you. I think Melvin Gordon is kind of insurance to Jerick McKinnon, because you look at the running backs. Isaiah Pacheco is going to be the guy. He's going to be that lead back that's going to get the first drive. He's going to get the, you know, he gets two drives and then the backup gets one drive when he gets kind of spelled, if it's a long drive or however they break those up. So Andy Reid likes to do it. Is it going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire when he comes back? Is it going to be Ronald Jones? Is it going to be, you know, Melvin Gordon maybe being that number two? But the way that it's split up is like Pacheco's your lead back getting those first drives, and then McKinnon's your third down guy. Like the packages, the plays that they run in those situations are kind of packaged like that. If you've got Clyde and Rojo kind of being the backup to Pacheco, and then you've got Melvin Gordon, who coming in this late isn't going to be able to be taught the entire offense. It's not like he can learn every play and every thing that they would ask Pacheco or Clyde or these guys that have been here longer to do. But if you give him a certain number of plays and a certain number in that package that he can work on with McKinnon, that's kind of what he was known for. Like, he was a good back out of the backfield that fits his skill set. Something that he's done throughout his career, being good out of the backfield, catching the balls, hopefully, again, not dropping any of them. But yeah, I don't think it's threatening Pacheco. I don't think it's necessarily even threatening Rojo or, you know, anybody else to be that number two guy, just because those roles are pretty defined at this point. But you had a talent like that onto a practice squad at this point in the season. It's great for him, because to Nick's point, he's going from a burning ship to P. Diddy's yacht. But at the same time, for the Chiefs, you just add a player with experience that's got talent. It's probably got something left in the tank that we've seen before. Andy Reid, Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy. Hopefully it ends better than it did for those guys who weren't happy when they first left. Basically being told, like, you don't have it anymore. And both of them got really upset about that. But this is a huge opportunity for Melvin Gordon. It's a no-brainer for the Chiefs.
Yeah. I don't know how much it really, how much this really happens, but it's like one of those things where he's like a enemy spy, right? You see how much intel you can get on the Broncos. I think that's like a tinfoil hat type of deal. I don't think that happens very often. But,
No, because like the teams know more than you as a player. And I remember I got cut from Arizona, and then 2 weeks later, 4 weeks later, I was with the Rams, and I got signed on a Saturday. We were playing the Cardinals on Sunday. And they didn't even hit me up for any information. It's like, we already know everything. But what they can do, the benefit, though, what they could do is, you know, if you're playing the Broncos, you have, if you get to 2 minute drills, you have code words, right? Mm. And it's like brush or whatever. You could give up the code words and say that, but then, you know, good quarterbacks will also throw out dummy ones too. So, yeah. So you don't really want to get too much involved with the minutia of, you know, spy or anything like that. Cause it's like, no, it's risky. Huh.
It's like you get called into a meeting. It's like, listen, we need to know everything you know.
Everything. Well, back in the day, I kept all my playbooks, you know, so it's like, so I still had those. And
do you still have them?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't have my Saints one, but I have my Cardinals, and I have my Denny Green Cardinals and my Linehan Rams offenses. Yeah.
Nice.
Speak at those.
I know.
Off-season content. Off-season content.
Yeah, we can do that. I can let you see them. You know,
I want to break down some Nick Lecky film. That's what I want to do.
That'd be fun. We can do that.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, wait, Tucker, what do you got? It's your turn.
Well, before we get to my blind nil, I think I need to tell you a little bit about Liquid Death. Hey, I got to tell you guys about our friends at Liquid Death. And by now, you guys already know that you might see some strange tall boys of beer in the bottled water section of your local stores. Well, It's not beer. It's actually mountain spring water from the Alps, and it's called Liquid Death. Why is the water called Liquid Death? Say it with me. It'll brutally murder your thirst. And their infinitely recycled tall boy cans are here helping to bring death to plastic bottles as well. They also donate 10% of their profits from every can sold to kill plastic pollution. I've got the severed lime flavor with me here. I also love the berry flavor. And also, just the straight still water is incredible. I like drinking the water out of the can. It makes you feel powerful, makes you feel authoritative. So here's what you got to do. Go to liquiddeath.com/KCSN to find their store locator tool, or you can go get Liquid Death at your local Target, Walmart, or 7-Eleven. Go check them out at liquiddeath.com/KCSN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I love when you throw to yourself at a different time.
In a different shirt.
Let's go to earlier Tucker.
This is a picture of me in the past, right? I let my kids drink Liquid Death. It lets people.
Every picture's of you in the past, Nick.
Yep.
Mitch Hedberg.
I love Mitch Hedberg.
Hey, give me that. Here's a picture of me in the future. Hey, yeah. Give me that camera.
Tucker, go look that up. Mitch Hedberg.
I'll look it up after. Fantastic. After.
I'm against protesting, but I don't know how to show it.
Good.
When elevators break, it should say sorry for the convenience.
When escalators break, they just become stairs. Yeah. All right, Tucker, what do you got for us for your blind nail segment?
I want to move to the offensive side of the ball. We're talking Patrick Mahomes has been able to spread the ball around all over the place like crazy. It's insane. Looking at kind of the touchdown numbers, have not really been spread out all. Or they have been spread out all over the place, outside of Travis Kelce with 12, Mecole Hardman second with 4, Clyde Edwards-Helaire 3, Juju Smith-Schuster 2, Justin Watson 2, Jody Fortson 2, and then you have 1 from Jerick McKinnon, Kadarius Toney, MVS, Noah Gray. So I want to look at that wide receiver position. When you're looking at the wide receivers, how many touchdowns through the rest of the season? You got 6 games left, right? Six games left.
It's crazy.
In the season, how many touchdown passes will come to wide receivers in these games? Non-Juju. So, let's take Juju out of it.
Oh.
Why? He's a receiver.
And Travis?
Travis is out of it because he's not a wide receiver. I'm taking Juju out of it because Patrick Mahomes has been so good at spreading the ball around.
Okay, so no Juju. Mm-hmm. So touchdowns, next 6 games, no Travis, no tight ends, no Juju.
No tight ends, no Juju. So that would leave Justin Watson has 2 running backs.
Are you crowdsourcing for a bet right now, Tucker? Is that what this is about?
No,
okay.
Sounds like just checking.
Duel
parlay that he wants to
catch.
It's
cash.
DraftKings.
I'm so sorry, whatever. Are they advertising again? Come on.
Not on today's show.
They're friend of the network.
FanDuel. All your bets there. Okay. All right. So let me clarify. What about my boy Jody Fortson? He's still got to hit his 4 number.
He's a tight end, though.
So no tight ends?
It's a wide receiver.
Wide receivers.
Can you just rephrase this? How many touchdowns are we going to see from Justin Watson, Sky Moore, mm-hmm. Kadarius Toney,
mm-hmm. MVS?
MVS.
Yep.
Those 4?
Mm-hmm.
Say 6.
Damn, BJ, 1 a game. So from those,
it's 1.5 a game.
Touchdowns from those total 4 or red zones.
I'm talking touchdowns total. Right now they have 4, I believe. If my math is correct, those guys combined have 4.
I'm a Price is Right, BJ, and I'm gonna go 5.
There's no winner in this game.
I don't want to say $1.
One. Running too much thought into this.
Well, and then here's the cool thing that this Chiefs wide receiver set as a whole. You remember Game of Thrones, and what was the girl? She joined the faceless blah blah people.
Oh, yeah.
A girl has no name, right?
Yep.
Yes. Watching it right now.
That's this wide receiver core That's this wide receiver core right now. There's no name. There's no, like, if you shut down Travis and maybe Juju now sort of emerge as this primary threat, with those other four, they're all solid. Like, they're all, they would be solid number twos on any team, on any team. And they're the third threat, third target. And it's like, man, that's the, those are, that's a champagne problem.
You know who I forgot, who we're forgetting to talk about here? And we're forgetting to talk about him because he hasn't played in the last three games since Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman does have four touchdowns. That's the most of any wide receiver. And, you know, he had, so out of those guys, you'd bring Mecole Hardman back into it. I think he should return soon. We've seen him tweet out that he's, like, doing sprints and lifting weights and getting back to be healthy. We'll see when he returns, but 10 touchdowns of Mahomes' 29 have come to Mahomes or Hardman, Watson, Juju, and Tony in MVS. So take Juju out of it. That would be 8 touchdowns out of his 29.
I think we're going to see Chad Henne against the Raiders on January 8th, just chucking touchdowns to Sky Moore.
Might see Chad Henne on week 14.
Oh my God. Rusty.
Finished already.
Rusty.
The Bills got a tough schedule, but we need the Bills and Dolphins. We need a bunch of people to lose. We want 2 weeks of Chad Henne.
8.
That number one seed.
It's huge. That bye week is in the playoffs, and especially when you got an extra game. I mean, that's huge. That's
need the Bills and Dolphins to beat each other a couple times and the Jets to get in there. And
they will
still play each other.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say
Ravens are 7-3.
I'm reversed to 8 just because I like Hardman. Hardman skews that number a lot just because they always throw in some packages just for him.
Oh, you're going 8? I'm going to take 7.5.
Good for you. I'm going to take 9. How do they – hey, the New Year's Day versus the Broncos, what can you flex it to? Like Saturday, 8 a.m.? Or is that like you just say you're good? You can just get this W?
I think New Year's is a Sunday, right?
Yeah. Is that like playing?
They're playing on New Year's. Yeah.
Who is the team? Who is the Bishop Sycamore? Right? Is that
they already flexed. They already flexed the Broncos and Chiefs matchup out of prime time.
That was amazing, by the way. That was what a world. Because I'll eat some pie. Because I thought the Broncos were going to win the NFC West or the AFC West this year. I said that. I thought the Broncos were, as I thought Russell Wilson was that guy, the missing link. His defense is kick ass. And the Broncos team, that defense kicks ass straight up. And then offense is the opposite. The offense is like, let's just go 3 and out the whole game. Right? Let's really test our punter. Like, let's let our punter earn our money. Like, that's boring football to watch. And to flex out, even with Russell Wilson, that's the opposite of this week's matchup.
They stink. And it's just been so bad. Beautiful to watch. And he's under contract for another 3 years. I'd never get tired of talking about how bad the Broncos are and like really getting into talking about with Matt Miller on Monday. Is this going to go down as the worst trade in NFL history? And that's not even like hyperbolic at this point. They gave up 3 players, 3 top 2 round picks, including 2 first rounders, and gave him $240 million.
That also extended him. That might be the worst part of it.
When did they extend him?
For the trade, that was part of the trade, is that they gave him a contract extension.
Unless you're the Chiefs and Orlando Brown, it's really hard to give up high draft picks and then not give somebody a contract, because you can't give away a bunch of first round picks and give all the leverage back to the player who could just get franchised, I guess. But you have to give them a deal when you make moves like that. That's why, like, Chiefs deal with like Brian Burns or Josh Allen around the trade deadline is like, well, what's it going to take to get him? Like, yeah, you have to give money, you have to give picks and money, and give up a first round pick and then potentially have to franchise that guy for 2 years. Like, an extension is part of that deal, but yeah, Geno Smith playing like a Pro Bowler and Russell Wilson playing like
it's the best.
Not a Pro Bowler.
How effective, how a good wide receiver like Tyler Lockett, K-State, will make a quarterback look good. I mean, that record of him with like 90 million targets in the red zone and no drops was stupid. Was a stupid stat.
He learned after the Auburn game, but we don't want to talk about that on the show.
All right. All right. Thursday nights don't count. But yeah.
I like this comment.
What do you think?
I like the job Russell Wilson is doing in Denver. The Chiefs need to get at least 2 Super Bowls by Saturday night. That's good.
Ruining Tim Patrick's rookie deal, Jerry Judy's rookie deal, Courtland Sutton getting paid. Like, by the time that Russell Wilson has either figured it out or moved on, or they have to hire another coach and then pay Hackett out. Like, there's just beautiful storylines everywhere. The next favorite one to pivot, if you want to make a comment on the Broncos, we'll go back. But like the Raiders and Josh McDaniels, the Raiders don't have enough cash to get rid of Josh McDaniels and then pay another coach.
Because
they're already paying John Gruden. Like, they literally can't do it. Same thing that happened with Khalil Mack years ago. They literally couldn't extend Khalil Mack because they didn't have enough cash to pay him to put into the escrow account when you have the guaranteed contracts. It's beautiful.
How is that possible? Like, to me, I saw that and I'm like, what? They should, like, Vegas should ask their boosters for more money or something. Like, what's the deal, man?
I'll go to the casinos.
I know.
They're going to start a GoFundMe. To get enough cash to offset.
But also at the same time, you know, your head coach is a lame duck and they can't get rid of him. And you're still ride or die with them. And it's like, I mean, honestly, guys, you want to know what one of the funnest times I've ever had playing football was 2008. And we sucked. I was with the Rams. And we knew Linehan was out. We knew they brought in Hazlitt promoted him. And we knew everyone was going to get canned, right? Everyone's getting fire sale, whatever. But tell you what, man, we had so much fun from Wednesday to Saturday just practicing. Like, yeah, you still got to fight your butt off, right?
Yeah.
You know you're going to – so you're playing for a film. But it was like – it was fun. There was no pressure. You're getting flexed out of games, right? You know, you're playing noon every Saturday, right, or Sunday. You know you're playing, you know, it's whatever. And, you know, you might give it an effort. You already had your one or two games once. You want to win some more. Be like, I'm going to do shit. It's like whatever, but it was fun. There's no pressure. Then when you next year I go to New Orleans, I'm like, oh my God, this is high pressure. But there is something to be said about enjoying it, you know, from that when the pressure's off and you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But man, not have your coach be getting fired because they can't afford it. Yeah. That's amazing. That's XFL stuff right there.
On the topic of the Broncos, a part of me kind of feels bad, but I don't feel bad at the same time.
For who?
They didn't feel bad for us when they were winning with Peyton Manning and all that.
No.
Dunking on us because of the Peyton Manning was going to take a visit here, and then he didn't, and then Emmanuel Sanders was going to sign here, told the Chiefs he was signing here, and then goes to Denver. No.
You didn't let me finish my thought. I'm saying
that. No.
Tim Patrick tore his ACL in the preseason. Garrett Bowles gets hurt in the preseason. Yeah. They had a lot better of an offense before the season kicked off. And their offense stinks because they have Cortland Sutton and that's it. I was going to say a part of me feels bad, but I don't feel bad for them. I don't. I don't feel bad at all.
Good. I need you to pledge your undying allegiance to the Chiefs.
Cut my hand.
All things
what I believe.
Related. Yes. You know what I'm talking
about? Arya, you take all your personal possessions and throw them into the lake. Like, Arya, I was watching the episode last night, and Valhar Morghulis or whatever she says with a coin. Bravos.
That is this offense. That is this Chiefs offense. Valhar Morghulis is like the faceless mini. You know, that's what it is. Yeah, it's just awesome.
All right, let's move on. Let's do expectations, what we think is going to happen on Sunday between the Chiefs and Bengals. Again, appreciate everybody for hanging out in this episode of Outside the Trenches. BJ Kissel, Nick Leckie, Tucker Franklin. And boys, let's take this one home. Nick, expectations, score prediction, and maybe an outside-the-box type player that you think may step up and have a big game, and why?
Is Brandon Williams, will he be active? No, he can't get active in practice squad yet, can he?
I'd be surprised if he – got active.
Remember
didn't call him up, but
defensive playbook is like 6 pages, and like two of those are like the what, like expectations. So it's easy to master in a vet like him. Hey guy, you're here, and then like plug these two gaps and you got this, you know.
It's really only the blitzes like don't get in the way, and then it's just the like Willie Gay coming up, he's like, I'm coming in the
look, get look, out, this get is out not, of the way. It's not accurate, but look, this is like an offensive playbook right here and this is like a defensive playbook, right? This is your defensive playbook, and this is like in just like the last 90 pages are empty, right? It's like for notes. It's a combo. It's a straight combo.
It's like you played an offense or something.
You would think, right? No, man, I expect it to be a good game. It's from as plain vanilla as that Rams game was last week, and they expected to win. Any other team, they would have blown it with all the late interceptions and all that stuff, and defense kept them in. I like the defense to really step up this game. You know, I think we're going to see Dunlap really have a game, and I'm predicting 2 sacks from him and 1 sack from Karloftis over the nose in their sort of NASCAR package. So yeah, though he'll probably, or 9.5, like I said on Twitter, right? but watch Karlaftis in the nose, you know, playing the nose guard on these third down. And I think he's going to get some production there, and it's going to be, so I think he'll get some pressure on Burrow. So yeah, but I like the Chiefs to win this one.
Tuck.
33-27.
I was just looking at the DraftKings page. I like to do that from time to time, just kind of look at the betting trends. Chiefs opened as a 3-point favorite, spread now down to 1.5. It's still in favor of the Chiefs. Going on the road, being favored by 1.5 points in a conference game of a team that beat you last year is good. Good for the Chiefs. I do think that they do win this game by more than 1.5. I do think that the Chiefs are the better football team. The Chiefs, a lot of people are worried about the red zone offense. That didn't bother me all that much last week. I don't know why it didn't bother me all that much, but I was like, it's fine. They'll figure it out when they need to figure it out. But it didn't beat me up all that much. But I think that the big thing is going to be, controlling the ball, scoring more points than the other team, getting turnovers. A sneaky dark horse guy that I think can be good in this game is going to be Kadarius Toney. If he's healthy, I like to see Kadarius Toney on the field. Dave Tobe came out today and said that he plans on being the primary punt returner when healthy. So very interesting in there.
I love it. And sorry, I was reading something else and getting blown up over here. What would you have a score prediction?
Oh, no, I didn't give a score prediction. I was looking up the over-under to kind of base my score prediction off of that. 52.5 is the over-under. So I will go – I know Brett Coleman said 21-20. I think that is going to be
angered
very
me.
Low. I think that's going to – I think that's low. I think it's going to be like 31-27.
That's exactly what Marlia Campbell said on our pregame show for 101 The Fox. I'm going 31-23. Chiefs, although part of me thinks that this could be a Patrick Mahomes just goes balls to the wall and puts up 40, 45 points. Yeah, starts counting how many touchdowns he's throwing and all of that. But the player that I think, and this is based on, stealing analysis from Brett Coleman and what he told me and analyzing the Bengals offensive line and Jonah Williams, their left tackle, who he said is a good player, but is a little susceptible to the speed to power, the bull rush, a little bit light, not quite the sand in the pants or whatever, analogies people use getting ready for the draft. A little something like that. They're a little light. They can get bull rushed. And that's kind of what George Karlaftis, that speed to the speed to power, that maybe it's just wishful thinking for myself that George Karlaftis could get, you get a couple sacks in this game, but I'm going to go with that. I think that, they want to deliver the ball deep down the field. They want to go outside the numbers to Ja'Marr Chase, to T. Higgins, and get those big chunk plays like we saw, in the last couple games against these guys last year. They had 486 yards combined between T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase against the Chiefs. And so they want to get the ball down the field. Well, it's not just about Trent McDuffie and those guys making plays. The offensive line for the Bengals has to give time for those routes to develop down the field. And that means guys up front. Shortest route to getting to where you want to go is a straight line. So bull rushing those guys, see George Karlaftis' power, see a couple sacks from him. I would love to see it. So I'm going to say 31-23 Chiefs, although I think that's pretty low. I think that we may see Chiefs offense get going.
42 degrees and overcast, partly cloudy for game kickoff. So that means a high scoring game. If it was cold, I would say take the under. But if it's warm, take you over. And hopefully they can protect Williams. Chiefs can. Because if you put him on Ja'Marr Chase or Higgins, Jesus Christ.
I'm don't mix up those names, Nick. You mix up the names, you might be able to be getting
catching some Twitter beef.
Also, I've got something else on the Twitter beef. This just came through.
Uh-oh.
Ja'Marr Chase was asked about the Twitter beef. Let's see what he had to say about that.
I ain't really have no comment about it until he made another comment and said everybody else was going to get locked down. So that's when I buzzed in to decide to say something on Twitter.
Do you think maybe he just hadn't watched enough film on the receivers in Cincinnati?
I don't think he's watching film at all. I don't think he knows his personnel on whoever he's trying to check or if he isn't even checking anybody. So it's just he need to go back and watch, the film, look at his personnel, look at what he wants to know. So. I mean, yeah.
Was that
Ja'Marr Chase doesn't think Justin Reed watches film.
Well, listen, if that was Justin from a Monday interview, that's one thing. Cause like Monday, you still don't know who you're playing or you don't who the personnel is. Wednesday on Thursday, Friday, you should know who you're covering. So it's like, it's a good point.
How many times were you going up against a player and he didn't know his name? He just went by his number, though. When I would talk to players, and I work for the Chiefs and I talk to players, they only refer to them by their numbers because when they're watching film, so the coaches are talking about, they just use player numbers. They're not saying Jamar Chase is a really good player. They're like, fucking whatever his number is.
If you knew the name, they were an all pro.
Right.
That's it, yeah. Exactly. It'd be like, because even to this day, I'm like, oh, yeah, number 51 or whatever, you know, something like that. Yeah, it was like a good player. And you're like, oh, Ray Lewis, not 52. Right. Yeah. If you're an all pro Hall of Famer, you get a name, you know, but you know, other than that, you're a Valhalla regardless too.
I used to, I would at times refer to players by their numbers. Cause that's just, you get caught into that language and that's how mm-hmm. players talk. And I was like, yeah. And you know, 51 is the guy you got to worry about. Like, why are you trying to sound all cool? And like, oh, I'm using their numbers to say their names. I'm like, that's how they talk.
I don't know.
All right.
Know the number. Cause who gives a crap on the field? You just know numbers. That's all you care about.
True story here. So every time I see a Darren Sproles highlight, I look for 53 running
That's
around.
That's right.
Trying to get some work done.
I'll have a solid highlight.
5'3". Big 5'3". That's wild. That quote right there, so I don't know if Justin Reed meant like anything on purpose to shade to in his initial comments, but afterwards saying everyone locked up, I think Jamar Chase has a fair point saying like everyone getting locked up. All right, that's what I'm going to chime in. But like, no,
Hayden Hurst can. I can't even hold it. I'm trying not to butt in here. Hey, he called Hayden Hurst soft. Like it wasn't a mix up. He was like, yeah, he's pretty soft. I'm like, bye. He's like, I'm going to lock him down.
Don't give anyone December motivation.
He didn't.
No bulletin board material in December, January, please. No.
What Justin Reed said about Hayden Hurst. None of it was wrong. I'll say that.
That's where coming out. He's like the baseball player, right? Hayden Hurst is one of those guys. Like Jordan Akins is the other one. I think Hayden Hurst played baseball because he was an older player when he got drafted. Similar to Jordan Akins, who's doing really well with the Texans. When he got drafted, he was like 25 years old because he played minor league baseball for a little while. I think Hayden Hurst played baseball in college too, or he played in the minors for a little while. So when you call him like a finesse player,
I've met baseball players think they can, and MLBers think they can play NFL. So it's a funny concept, you know. Your people, BJ.
Your people. He was drafted by the Pirates in the 2012 MLB draft.
Coolest logo in all of sports.
The Pirates is what you're saying. You're not just talking about their P, right? You're talking about like the
Pirates, or the Pirate, the P, the colors. Was it the black and gold or black and yellow or something like that? Or
yeah,
it's clean. It's super clean. The cleanest logo set, everything.
I went to a Pirates game one time. Cool stadium.
It is. Old downtown there is nice. Played the Steelers several times, and it was always nice to walk around their downtown area. All right, we appreciate everybody for hanging out with us on this episode of Outside the Trenches. We'll have plenty more content getting you ready for Chiefs and Bengals on Sunday afternoon, and the more people keep putting mics in their faces, the more content that we've got to share with you and talk about it. Ultimately, it's going to settle between the white lines like it always does, and who gets the last laugh, whose fan base, whose content creators get to bop the other one after this one. We'll find out on Sunday, but we appreciate you for spending part of your day with us. If you like what you heard, hit that like and subscribe button. Follow us on your favorite podcasting platform or look us up on YouTube by searching KCSN. We've also got lots of college content, whether you're a KU, K-State, or a Mizzou fan. Just search KCSN on your favorite podcast platform. You can find all of our college content as well. But appreciate all for hanging out. For Nick, Tucker, I'm BJ. We'll see y'all later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.